And the Gods Laughed by Frederick Brown. Hank was spinning quite a space lie, something about earrings wearing their owners. The crew got a boot out of the yarn until they got to thinking. You know how it is when you're with the work crew on one of the asteroids. You're there, stuck for the month you signed up for, with four other guys and nothing to do but talk. Space on the little tugs that you go in and return in, and live in while you're there, is at such a premium that there isn't room for a book or a magazine, nor equipment for games. And you're out of radio range except for the usual once-a-terrestrial-day, system-wide newscasts. So talking is the only indoor sport you can go in for. Talking and listening. You've plenty of time for both because a workday, in spacesuits, is only 4 hours, and that with 4 15-minute back-to-the-ship rest periods. So you can actually work only 3 hours and spend half that time getting in and out the airlock. But those are union rules, and no asteroid mining outfit tries to chisel on them. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is that talk is cheap on one of those work crews. With most of the day to do nothing else, you listen to some real whoppers, stories that would make the old-time liars clubs back on Earth seem like Sunday school meetings. And if your mind runs that way, you've got plenty of time to think up some yourself. Charlie Dean was on our crew, and Charlie could tell some dillies. He'd been on Mars back in the old days, when there was still trouble with the Bolies, and when living on Mars was a lot like living on Earth back in the days of Indian fighting. The Bolies thought and fought a lot like Amerinds, even though they were quadrupeds that looked like alligators on stilts, if you can picture an alligator on stilts, and used blowguns instead of bows and arrows. Or was it crossbows that the Amerinds used against the colonists? Anyway, Charlie's just finished a whopper that was really too good for the first tryout of the trip. We'd just landed, you'd see, and were resting up from doing nothing en route. And usually the yarn started off easy and believable and don't work up till real depth of space lying until about the fourth week when everybody's bored stiff. So we took this head bowly, Charlie was ending up, and you know what kind of flappy little ears they've got. We put a couple of zircon-crudded earrings in its ears and let it go. And back it went to the others. And then darned if, well, I won't go on with Charlie's yarn, because it hasn't got anything to do with this story, except that it brought earrings into the conversation. When Charlie'd finished, Zeb Wera stood up and sniffed. Air's getting kind of bad in here, he said. Reckon I'll go out and get my first shift over with. Anybody want to come? Ray went with him. Our tug had equipment for only 2 men to work outside at a time, and the rest of us helped them into suits and out the lock, and then settled down for some more talk, there being nothing else to do. Zeb's remark about the air had been just a crack at Charlie's story, of course. How do you happen to have zircon earrings along? Blake Powers asked Charlie, when things had quieted down again. Blake was skipper for the voyages, but now that we were anchored down on our asteroid, he was just one of the boys until we took off again. In with the slum for trading, Charlie said. When you're going to any place in the system that might be inhabited and you don't know by what critters, you take a little of almost everything. You never know what's going to strike the fancy of any civilized or semi-civilized race you might hit. It might be mirrors. I've known dime store mirrors to bring in twice their weight in radium salt. Or it might be paperclips or harmonicas. Or salted peanuts or plaster statuettes. He turned to me and said, "You know that, Hank. You've been on a first trip or two. So have you, Blake." Blake nodded. "I remember I was on the crew of the ship that landed first on Phobos. You know what the Phobians turned out to be like, of course. They had about everything we had. And damned if we could do a lick of trading until the captain of our ship put something back in a box and happened to put a rubber band around the box. They went nuts. They'd never seen anything that had elasticity. Rubber or anything like it simply wasn't known on Phobos. We managed to find a few dozen rubber bands in the ship's office and practically bought out Phobos with them. One of the crew was wearing old-fashioned suspenders with elastic in them, and he traded them for a bucket of Phobian celestones. Had to hold up his pants with a piece of rope for the rest of the trip, but when he got back to Earth, he was rich. Me, I was wearing a belt. I've worn suspenders ever since, but I never got back to Phobos. Not that it would matter if I did. Interplanet's doing a regular trade in rubber there now, and it's down to 20 credits a pound or there.